Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seats with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey!
Hello, everyone. I brought out my own bottle of water, and then there's one sitting here. Don't need that. I'm going to put them down here. I cleverly hide them under the table, because I don't need an entire audience of people here at the UCB Theater just staring at my water, wishing it was theirs. Maybe I'll have a water giveaway at some point during the show. Hey, that was the I Love Movies theme song by Hard and Firm. Hard and Firm, why would they be called that? Hard and Firm. Are you guys sick of hearing that song yet?
No?
Okay, good. It kind of gets into your brain a little bit. And they do lots of great shows here at UCB, so go to ucbtheater.com for more information. I love performing here whenever I'm in Los Angeles, and this is the home of I Love Movies at handheldcomedy.com. We do this at kind of a strange time of day to expect people in Los Angeles to come out and see a show, so I am always blown away by the people that come out, and I would like to show my appreciation in next week's episode, which actually tapes in a little while. so you guys will see more about that, those of you that are here live, a little later. Here's the part where I tell a joke. Or my version of one. It's like kind of like the monologue, but there's only one log. And it has mono. I have to say that the movie Little Miss Sunshine is really, really growing on me. Like, with each repeat viewing, I like it more. And I guess the reason I enjoy it more each time I see it is because I prefer watching it on DVD in the privacy of my own home, where I can masturbate. Especially that last scene. All right, my guest... Oh, children. My guest today was, speaking of children, my guest today was one of the stars of the instant classic TV show Freaks and Geeks. Not to mention, he's had guest starring roles on some of my other favorite shows, from Ed to Entourage to Undeclared. Please give a big warm welcome, everybody, to Sam Levine. Let's hear it for him. He's here.
You like Ed?
I love Ed, dude.
I
fucking love that show. If I could have sex with a TV show, it would be Ed. The guy in the wheelchair was awesome. The guy from Stella and the State was awesome. I'm not good with names.
Phil, I think, was his name.
Yeah.
What was the name of that other guy that was on there?
Mike Starr.
Yeah, good guess. That's Thanks, exactly guys. The one I was thinking of.
Well, that's the one nobody ever knows his name.
You are going to be good at the Leonard Maltin game.
Thank you very much.
And what was Mike Starr still on Ed when you went on it, or was
he
gone?
He was
already?
Not. I don't want to say he was a regular. I think he was like a 10 out of 13 kind of thing because there were some
right?
episodes he wasn't in.
Right.
But he was still billed as a regular.
And you were in a non Mike Starr epi.
I was.
Oh, wow.
I think I was in two non-Mike Starr Eppies.
Are those on DVD yet? I don't know.
Sure.
No, don't say they are if they're not.
They're
people
not.
Will
I don't
rush
think they're
out.
On DVD.
People will rush out to get those Ed
they
DVDs.
They will rush out.
And they'll accidentally buy Ed TV and go,
oh,
what the fuck
horrified.
Is Woody Harrelson doing they, in my Ed?
They will be horrified.
I got Woody Harrelson in my Ed.
At Jenna Elfman's eyebrows in Ed TV. You watch it and then you're like, wow, he was right. Her eyebrows look weird. Just watch.
Ed always had good girlfriends. Like, he had that ongoing thing with Carol, who she was a cute actress, but then all of his girlfriends I would find attractive.
Really?
Yeah, he did pretty well, that Ed guy.
Tom Cavanaugh, he gets out there.
What's her name?
He was loved by
Rena Sofer was
Rena
one of
Sofer,
them.
She's great.
Probably her best work.
Next to Heroes.
She's in Heroes?
She did one episode so far, but now she's on 24, oh. So I don't know.
Wow, well, 24, you never can count on having a career when you're on that show.
That's true.
That could end at any second.
I think she'll
and
come
the longest
back.
It's going to last usually is a day.
That's true.
Unless you're the president's brother. And you get to stick around for a while until you get killed.
I don't want to hurt your...
So, Sam Levine, holy shit.
Doug.
Pleasure to have you on the show.
It is my pleasure.
Been talking
to be
about
here.
It for a while.
Months.
I know.
And months.
I know that
Thank
sometimes
you.
You're in the audience at the show. You're
Most
like
of
you're
the
like
time.
A fan.
I am. I'm a fan first. Then guest second.
Guest second. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good excuse if this doesn't work out. Well, I was just said I was a fan first.
It's well.
Sorry,
I'm
man.
I'm covering my ass here.
So tell us what you've seen lately. That's my question.
Oh,
I usually
boy.
Come out of
well,
the box
I
with.
Finally saw Children of Men.
Yay! Finally, you get
correct.
To agree with me.
I do. I never disagreed with
number
you.
Number one movie of 2006.
I don't know about that.
What do you think's number one movie?
I don't know.
What would you go with if you dare say Children of Men is not number one?
That's a good question.
Stick your fucking neck out.
You know
out.
What? I'll recant it. If I had to pick a film that I liked best from 2006, it would be Children of Men.
If I had to pick a word that I'd like you to never use again, it would be recant.
Sorry.
I would like you to recant your use of recant.
I recant my use of
if
recant.
If that's at all possible.
I apologize.
There's no take backs, and you don't have to apologize for anything.
Okay.
You're wonderful.
Then I won't. Thank you.
All right, so you couldn't come up with another movie out of the probably 100 that you saw last year.
Literally 100.
You couldn't come
films.
Up with another one that's even close
I don't
to
know.
Children
I,
of
I
Men.
Wasn't. I didn't think we were going to be doing a year end.
Did you see the Borat picture?
I did see the Borat picture.
Would you put that close to number one?
I would say it's in the top three, which I know
okay.
You're going to go,
so now
it's number three.
Now you've got three.
You
Where's that other mystery movie?
I don't know.
You don't know what it is.
I'll tell you what I liked. Jackass number two.
Oh, okay. I like that too.
There you go.
That was in my top five.
That was a great, great movie.
All right. Well, let's stop dwelling on the past.
Let's
talk about what are you looking forward to seeing?
The Transformers movie.
So you're looking way forward.
Well, July.
You're looking forward to July. You got like 5 months of waiting.
Sure.
Give or take.
Give or take.
This broadcast's a few weeks from now.
You're
so.
Right. You're right.
Okay. Yeah. What about Bridge to Terabithia?
Not
is Terabithia anywhere near Narnia? Because I need a ride.
It's near Neverland. Those movies have zero appeal to me. Zero.
Now, by those
like
movies, you mean things based on books?
All books. No,
Ocean
I just the movies that are
literature?
That are like heavy in the fantasy world. Like I know everyone's, oh, it's beautiful. You have to see Pan's Labyrinth. No, I don't.
So if it was Bridge to New Brunswick, you'd probably check it out.
I love
if
New Brunswick.
If it was about New Jersey.
If it were about New Jersey.
And its various bridges.
And the lovely people who dwell there.
All right. No, I agree. I can't get too fired up about it. I saw the Narnia. It's not related to Narnia, is it?
I hope not.
I don't think there's even a connection, but it's just now it's just going to be movies that seem like Narnia.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, Chronicles of Narnia? Well, how about Bridge to Terabithia?
They sound the same.
How about, of course, I can't think of another one now. Because it's made up. It's fucking made up words. I can't make up words like these Terabithia people can. What about Ghost Rider?
I don't think I'm going to...
From Mark Steven Johnson, the man who directed Daredevil and Simon Birch?
Really?
What?
Really?
What a weird list of credits that guy has. Well, I did two pictures based on comic books. And one based on a thick book by a former wrestling coach.
Craziest thing about Simon
Birch.
Or
current wrestling coach. Maybe he still does it.
About when I watched Simon Birch, I was watching it on cable the first time I saw it, and I missed like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching the whole movie, and I don't know if you guys have seen the movie. Just as it ends, it cuts back to the present, and we see who's been narrating, and it's Jim Carrey. Out of nowhere, I had no idea he was in the film. I'm watching a... kind of.
You didn't recognize his voice narrating?
No, I wasn't expecting it.
You, really? Like when the mother got hit in the head with the baseball and she died? And then the narrator goes, "All righty then." You didn't. That wasn't like a moment where you thought this might be Jim Carrey?
I didn't. Yeah, I guess not. I wasn't on my listening with my Jim Carrey ears.
I guess not. I can't see a 30-second TV commercial without trying to figure out who the narrator is or who the voiceover is. Because whenever it's just voiceover actor hired to do a voiceover,
right.
It's aggravating. Oh. Because most commercials now, it's Alec Baldwin or Richard Dreyfuss or somebody. Yeah. And so
George
when it's
Clooney?
Just when it's somebody you can't figure out.
Yeah. Hawk and Budweiser.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is drinkability? I don't know, George. What is it?
I bet Danny DeVito knows. I love figuring out who they are and then pissing everybody off by saying it out loud first.
Oh, is it a game in your household?
Oh, it's second only to the Leonard Maltin game.
It's a good game.
If there's a voice, I'll fucking tell you who it is, whether you want to know or not. 2 seconds into Forrest Gump, I'm like, that's Tom Hanks.
I think that one's too easy, Doug.
Well, yeah, you do kind of see him in the credits.
All right.
And hear him. So, I forgot to bring a timepiece again. I'm really terrible at hosting a show. Somebody should take it away from me. It's like I have a baby that I shouldn't have.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I forgot to crack the windows and leave a bowl of water.
Just a bowl?
Yeah, a baby can figure it out. You know, babies get thirsty enough. They'll figure out how to drink from a bowl.
Yeah.
They don't need a stupid bottle.
You're probably right.
When they're really thirsty.
Instinct just kicks in.
It's right. They'll just pound on the glass every tit that walks by. Let me have some of that. So, Sam Levine's been in some movies, you guys. He's not just a TV actor.
That person is very upset with that.
I don't think the microphones are going to pick that up, but somebody screamed a blood-curdling scream backstage. You were in Pulse with Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell, yeah, in Pulse.
Is she as cool as Veronica Mars or just a good actress?
Both. I don't watch the Mars.
Good answer. You don't watch the Mars?
I was on it.
You were on
it.
Mars.
I don't watch it.
And you didn't watch it?
No.
Not even the episode you're on?
I watched that
That's
one.
That's what... okay.
Because
I was
going to
say,
selfish.
What kind of seasoned veteran are you that when you do an episode of Eve, you don't sit down and watch it?
I knew you were going to...
With the rest of your family. Did
me.
You know that? Really?
I had
It's not on here. It's not on my notes.
Oh, really?
But I
That's
did...
That's more
impressive. I'm a good
then.
Study.
You really are.
I really learned all about Yes, Dear, and...
You're going to...
You were in something called Felching, I think.
I think it's called Frenching.
Oh, Frenching. You were in something called Frenching. It was a short
Does
film,
anyone
right?
Know what Felching
It's only 13
is.
Minutes long, so I assumed it was about Felching.
You guys know? Okay, then really, there would be troubled laughter if more people knew what Felching was, Doug.
More people need to know. Maybe that should be my new wrap-up slogan. This is Doug Benson saying more people need to know about felching.
Spread the word.
If for only reason, just avoid doing it, like, because you don't want to do it on accident.
You really don't.
It's something you really should be fully committed to.
Mm-hmm.
You were Dirk in Club Dread.
I was Dirk.
AKA Broken Lizards Club Dread. Yeah. Let me finish the question, please.
My bad.
Why were you in Beer Fest, a.k.a. Broken Lizards Beer Fest? Couldn't you find your ID?
I don't know.
Sam looks much younger than he is, for those of you listening at home or wherever you listen to this. And still playing high school kids occasionally,
no,
right?
No, I haven't done high school.
You've broken out of that? It's all college now?
It's mostly college now, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
What if somebody asked you, like, if it was a really cool project to play a high school student again? Could you go back? Could you do it?
I mean, as long as they believe I'm a high school age, it's not like I'm turning down
jobs.
Well,
I mean, you've never acted like, even on Freaks and Geeks, you seem like you were, like, 37.
I don't know about that.
But you looked a lot younger.
Yeah,
but you were wise beyond your years on that show.
Well, that's, thank you. That was
not wise enough to not be a fucking geek, but still. Pretty wise.
You are correct.
You were like, you know who you really reminded me of? I don't know if we've ever had this conversation.
Maybe not.
Dana Gould.
You did tell
That's
me
what
that.
Dana Gould would be like you when he was a little kid, if you guys know who that is. So what'd you do in Club Dread? Because I saw that, but I forgot you were in it.
I played the youngest person who... It's basically this island. It's supposed to be like... What's Jimmy Buffett's... The Buffett... Ville.
Oh, Margaritaville?
Yeah, Margaritaville. Where it's like this island that like everybody goes to, and there's no cell phones and computers, and you just get drunk and have sex with everybody. And so it's a ripoff of that. We got a guy named Coconut Pete, which is Bill Paxton.
Right.
And he has this island, and basically...
Is the answer anywhere in what you've been saying?
Yes, yes. So all these people come to get drunk and have sex, and I'm this supposedly like 15 or 16-year-old kid who has snuck onto
who
the island.
Who somehow got on the island.
Yes, and wants to just drink and have sex. And
do you have any friends with you that are your age, or you're the only one?
I'm the only one.
And you snuck in somehow.
And I sneak in and get loaded and
oh, they show
of.
You getting drunk?
No, they don't.
All right.
But you'd have to assume I am. I act like a dick the whole movie.
You're
Maybe
in it,
you
you're in it like throughout
I
the whole movie you're in it?
I'm in it. And I Man, even I get killed in
I saw that shit.
Man.
I can't even imagine it. How do you get killed?
I get electrocuted in a pool.
Nice.
Oh, wait, you're applauding my electrocution? Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, you liked your death
scene.
I died
very realistically.
Yeah. Now, according to IMDb, you were listed under miscellaneous crew, right?
Yeah.
For the voice of Artie in Wet Hot American Summer.
That is correct.
What up with that?
I will tell you what up with that. The film Wet Hot American Summer, there is a character in it who is the camp DJ. Like, and you hear him doing voiceover throughout the whole film.
Yeah, just like Meatballs.
Exactly.
Chris Makepeace.
Yeah. And there's even from My Bodyguard. And there's
or no, actually, Bill Murray's the DJ.
Oh, you're right. But Makepeace is
but
in
But Makepeace
it.
Is there.
And so there's even a small storyline with the character who's the DJ. You even see him a couple times. And for one reason or another, after they finish principal photography, David Wayne, the director, and the other producers felt that the kid that they hired to do the DJ didn't quite have the right sound. He had the right look, but not the right sound. And so they asked me if I would come in and dub his lines.
And they just give you like a special thanks in the credits because they don't want to.
I guess I
tear
guess
that
like,
poor kid down.
I guess I don't know. It's like when somebody does the singing for you know, like someone in a musical.
Yeah, usually
they never
they
credit
don't,
the person.
They don't
who sang.
Say that. Yeah, they
maybe
keep
they
it
give
big
a special
hush
thanks.
Hush.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's the story behind that. Right. Really
that,
exciting.
That poor kid. Has he worked again, do you think?
I think he has. I'm sure he's fine.
On his IMDb page, does it say face of Artie? Face and body of Artie.
I hope it does.
But not the voice. That's happened a few times, you know, like what's her name? Andie MacDowell. In Tarzan. They that's replaced right. her voice with Glenn Close. Mm-hmm. And then that's when Glenn started getting a lot of work. Not really.
I don't think that that's accurate.
If they ever make That's So Raven, the movie, would you want to be in it?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
All right.
I tell you, you do one episode of That's So Raven, and I now will. I have a lifetime of getting stopped by 9-year-olds. Which sounds weird, Now that I say it out loud?
Yeah, getting stopped by them.
It impresses.
Do they issue a citation?
When you're out on a date and like a couple of like cute, unassuming kids get, were you on That's So Raven? Yes, I was, little children. Then the date's always, oh, you're so good with kids. This is my evil plan. And now I've given it away on the air.
I refer to almost everything you do as being That's So Raven. And this is a question I ask everybody. Have you ever worked with Alec Baldwin?
I have not. I've come very close.
Well, thank you for being here.
Okay.
How did you come very close to working with Alec Baldwin? How does someone know? I might have come close, but I'm not aware of it.
Well, all right. I don't want to say any names or anything because I don't want to get people in trouble.
Okay.
Because it actually still might happen.
Oh, well then, yeah, don't ruin it.
But suffice it to say that...
Because the powers that be that are making this picture that you're referring to love my podcast.
Well, maybe...
They listen to it on their iPod when they're on the treadmill in the morning.
Relatives listen to it. And you know how word of mouth spreads, Doug.
I do. So there's a chance you still might work with Alec Baldwin.
There's a chance I might end up working with Alec Baldwin.
All right, well, you know that you're... As soon as you've worked with Alec Baldwin, you're the next guest on this show.
Oh, boy.
Because... I've asked every guest since this show started, practically, and none of them have worked with him.
All right. I have an Alec Baldwin story, if you'd like to hear it. I'm not in it, but it's pretty entertaining.
What do you mean you're not in it?
I'm not in the story.
What kind of stories are you telling that you're not in?
I think you'll enjoy it if you let me
tell. Who else is in it besides Alec Baldwin?
Studio and network people.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, see, now it gets exciting.
Wait, but won't this get you in trouble with the Alec Baldwin Project?
Probably not, and I'll tell you why. Because
the Untitled Alec Baldwin Project?
I'm going to quote right now that I cannot vouch for the validity of this story.
Okay.
Because I was not in the room.
All right. So but this is a made-up story.
This is not a made-up story. I'm going to bet this is an almost 100% true story. This story is many years old now. Back in the year 2000, you guys remember how they brought The Fugitive back to TV briefly? Mm-hmm.
Tim Daly,
that's right. Well, apparently before Tim Daly,
mm-hmm.
they wanted Alec Baldwin to play The Fugitive.
And what did he say? Too much running.
No, I don't know. At first, he seemed on board with it. But I guess then he kind of was on the fence about it. And so it was basically the last minute. Everybody gets on the conference call. We want to make sure everyone's on the same page. Like all the network execs and all the studio execs were in one room. And Alec was on location somewhere. And so they had him on speaker. And his agents and whatnot were in another room. And everyone's listening. And so they're, you know, all, okay, Alec, we're all ready to go. You know, Richie Kimble, you're going to be the fugitive. It's going to be great. And Alec says, yeah, but let me just go over this one more time. Richard Kimble, what's his deal? They're like, his wife has been murdered, and he's freed himself from prison, or he's been convicted of her murder, and he's looking for her killer. And then Alec goes, yeah, how about this? Richard Kimble goes from town to town, and he fucks chicks. And there is a pregnant pause in all rooms where they're just waiting for him to crack up. And it doesn't happen. And so finally, like, the producer is like, Alec, hang on, maybe we didn't explain it well. His wife, he was in love with his wife, and she's just been brutally murdered. And he wants to find her killer with his last ounce of freedom. He goes, yeah, no, I feel like it'll work better if he doesn't, you know, if he could just go from town to town and fuck different chicks. And then the president of CBS gets on, Les Moonves, and he goes, Alec, his wife is dead, freshly dead. He can't deal with it. He's crippled by, he needs to find her killer. And Alec goes, yeah, he's over that now. And then Tim Daly got the part. That's my Alec Baldwin story.
Well, in Tim Daly's defense, he probably pitched that also, but they said no to him, and he said, well, okay, we'll do it your way.
Probably.
Well, I'm glad that Alec Baldwin held out for the character of the studio executive who lives in one town and so far hasn't fucked any chicks
that I've noticed
on 30 Rock.
Well, just dig a little deeper.
That's what time will do to you. Eventually, he probably every year was up for several different shows and pitched the, how about he goes from town to town fucking chicks?
Yeah.
And then everyone just was so, so down on
eventually,
it.
Eventually, he will get that show.
I bet you Tina Fey's smart enough that she went, okay, we'll do that.
And then just gave him this.
And then gave him the, yeah, and then he just goes in every day and says his lines and wonders where the travel and the chicks are.
She's crafty enough to pull that off.
She really is. Mm-hmm. She's crafty enough to pull off Mean Girls.
That's true.
Speaking of Mean Girls.
Yeah.
I hear that you're very good at the Leonard Maltin game.
I feel like I'm pretty good at it. That was a good segue.
Didn't end up having anything to do with Mean Girls, other than it's one of the several titles, several thousands
of titles in
that are
book.
In the Leonard Maltin book. So am I asking you?
If you want, you want to do one of each?
It's that time. That's how fast this show goes.
That was
by.
Very fast. It's time to I play feel like the we Leonard barely Maltin talked game. About movies.
Well, we did a little
can
bit.
Can I just quickly, there's just one movie I want to really just tear into, and it's Dreamgirls. And here's why.
Why didn't you do that when we were talking about current movies?
Well, I forgot about it then, man.
Right.
I'll make it quick. Dreamgirls
right.
tear does not
into
deserve an Academy Award nomination for Best Picture.
Well, it didn't get one.
And I'm glad. and I'll tell you why. Because the movie musical is a dead genre. In today's atmosphere of films, it just doesn't have a place like it used to in, say, the 50s. And here's the thing about Jennifer Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't begrudge her the Academy Award that she will probably win, but I'm just bothered a little bit by it because when people are like, oh, did you see Jennifer Hudson in Mean Girls? Everyone always thinks of what a great singer she is in the movie. And we're not giving her an Academy Award for best singing. That's what the Grammys are for. So I'm a little bit bothered by that she's probably going to win an Academy Award because she's a good singer. That's all.
That's an excellent point.
Thanks, man.
I wasn't listening to any of it.
It's all right. I was just doing it
so
to get time
while you found the movie. I would probably be a fiery debate if I was paying attention.
It's all right.
But the singing is still part of the performance on camera.
I just think it's wrong to compare her singing in a movie to
someone
Kate
not
Blanchett
singing in another
and her,
movie.
And her heart... wrenching acting that she didn't like Notes on a Scandal.
Right.
Like, you can't compare those two. One is a hard craft that, you know, Cate Blanchett has spent 20, 30 years of her life developing, and the other is just a natural talent that she's obviously harnessed. I don't think anyone would give Jennifer an award based on her acting in the movie. That's all I'm saying.
I thought it was pretty good.
Her acting in the movie was Academy Award worthy?
I thought she was a fireball of chutzpah.
Ooh, when you bring the Yiddish words out on me, I'm defenseless.
Yep, that's how I know how to use
You've used kryptonite
them.
Against me.
All right. 1991.
Okay.
The movie's called... Oh, wait, I don't say that part.
Don't tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Am I right? That would be shocking.
It's a good guess. Let's see what year that came out.
91.
Did it really?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I'm good at this
Are you
game.
Weird with years?
Yeah.
You know years of movies?
Yes.
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead came out in 91.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna look it up. I can't.
All right.
I can't take it. Because that's going to be... I'm going to be officially impressed if that's true.
All right.
What were you doing in 91 that you have such a good memory of?
I don't know.
Do you relate these things to your life? Or do you just know the years that shit came out?
I feel like I just know the years shit came out.
What year did Dodgeball and A True Underdog Story come
2004.
out? 2004. God damn you.
Am I right about Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter?
I haven't got to it yet.
Uh-oh.
Do you think Dodgeball and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter is Dead are on the same page?
Yes.
What year did Don't Be a Menace in South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood come out?
Oh, that was like 95 or something.
I'm going to kill you. I get really mad at him for knowing the years.
Yeah.
Don't Tell Mom. There it is. 91, you son of a bitch.
Thank you.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
You are good.
Joanna
okay.
Cassidy's in that.
Here we go. Now, right. Now figure out something else that came out
okay.
in 91.
Okay.
Danton Stone.
Ooh, I don't know who that is.
Charlene Woodard.
Barely know who that is.
Stanley Anderson.
No.
Anthony LaPaglia.
Oh. Okay, keep going.
Nathan Lane.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, oh, dear is right.
Nathan
and
Lane
guess
is...
what? No singing. And no Academy Awards.
Mm.
Sharon Stone. Not sure if she's related to Danton Stone. Don't think she is.
1991. Okay, keep going.
These last two names would give it away.
Oh, really?
If it gives it away at all, maybe you would just.
It might
know.
Be the conundrum room.
Elizabeth Perkins. Remember when she was in movies?
I do. She had a good run.
She's awesome on Weeds.
She is awesome on Weeds.
That's the most hateful person. And the star of this movie, Kevin Bacon.
Oh, she's having a baby. Or, no, that's the 80s. What am I talking about? It's the other one with him.
yeah, Kevin Bacon did those two movies. She's two having movies. A baby and Platoon.
Just those two.
Wait, he's not in Platoon.
I've definitely not seen the movie, so I'll have to dig into my brain of what... 1991.
People are whispering in the audience.
Do you guys know in the audience collectively?
And it's a funny title to whisper, because it just sounds like you're whispering about whispering. Because it's called He Said, She Said.
Oh, right. I have never seen He Said, She Said. So that was a good pick.
All right. Well, I see where we're going now. That's going to be the ongoing excuse.
No. I will fully
you would
take...
Explain to the audience the brag that you did to me.
I gave a brag earlier today.
That you were in a Borders with your brother.
Mm-hmm. And we played
playing
this game for an hour.
And you got every single one right.
Every single one correctly, except for... Actually, there was one that
you didn't tell
get.
Me the exception.
There was one I didn't get. It was from the 50s.
Oh, well.
See, we opened
your brother's
up the field
a dick for doing the 50s.
We opened up the field.
Oh,
we,
I like to try it to be within, you know, like the last 20 years.
Well, that's
you know,
nice of
I smoke a lot of pot. Let's not get ridiculous. All right, let me give you one more since you're so good at
okay,
it.
Okay, well, then I want to give you one. I got a good one.
Oh, you got to give me one?
Yeah.
Well, then do it because right. We're running out of time.
Okay. Right. Just talk amongst yourselves when we figure this out.
Don't say talk amongst yourselves to people listening to a podcast.
I was really talking to you, Doug.
They're the loneliest people, and then you just made them really sad. Go chat with someone in another cubicle while Sam looks this up.
It's okay. It's right here.
Okay. While Sam's looking this up, I'll do some plugs. Next week, I don't know who's going to be on. But the audience that's sitting here right now is about to find out. Because I'm going to tape it in a few minutes. Oscars are coming up. Sure hope those singing people don't win.
Okay, here we go.
I hate it when people sing in a movie and then win an award for it.
Are you ready?
They just figured out how to harness their God-given talent. Cate Blanchett had to work!
She did! She's amazing.
She had to train.
She should
to
win.
Talk like a person.
Academy Awards every time she acts.
Person
how about
named
that?
Sheba. Just the fact that character's name was Sheba was an acting triumph.
Really, to overcome that obstacle.
I hope there's somebody named Sheba in this movie.
There is all no right. one named Sheba. But
what
there
year
are some
was
funny
it?
Names.
What year was it?
1990. What do you think about that?
Flintstones, Viva Las Vegas.
No, I think you're considerably off on that year.
Okay.
It's okay. It's okay. Here we go.
It's fun to take a wild guess because
it is fun
to get it right.
Well, that's why I thought I'd be right with "Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead," but I wasn't.
Okay. All right,
Angela Bassett.
What year again?
1990.
1990. With
I'm not
Angela
gonna lie,
Bassett.
I forgot she was even in.
She's
this.
Pretty low on the list.
She's the last. Name
She's the
list?
Last name.
Yeah.
Tiny right. part.
Tiny part.
Probably some sort of government official that yells at some other character briefly.
I think that happens in this film. Yeah.
Okay, keep
All
going.
Right, here we go. Richard Portnow.
Okay, go.
Park Overall, which is such a funny name.
Yeah, she was in Empty Nest with Richard Mulligan.
Yeah.
She had her own show on the WB that lasted about the amount of time it takes to say she had her own show on the WB. Mm. Keep going.
Okay. Kathy Moriarty.
From Raging Bull, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Carol Baker.
Okay, give me another one.
All right. Richard Tyson.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
You know what?
What's up?
I think I can get this in one more name.
Okay. This is a giveaway name.
It is?
Yeah, this next one.
Well, of course I'm going to get it then. I'm pretty good at this.
Linda Hunt.
Linda Hunt's a giveaway name?
To me it is. I can think of the movies
How
Linda
many
Hunt
giveaway
been.
Names do you think are in this movie?
That one and one, maybe two more, one or two.
You
more.
Don't think Pamela Reed's a giveaway name?
Kindergarten
Cop!
Dead, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, shit. Hey, keep it going for Sam Levine, everybody. Thanks for coming
Thank you.
Sam. Playing games, having fun.
Thank you
talking.
Very much, Doug.
And you know
Thank
how I end
audience.
The show, right? You could say it if you want.
Until next time, this is Doug Benson saying, Willem Dafoe is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug...